When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's Let's ride.
For the words that are recited before each and every game here at Dodger Stadium, take it away, Finn.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
What is up, Incline Dodger fans? We are recording live during the Los Angeles Dodgers and Chicago White Sox game during the top of the sixth inning. So we'll kind of have some play-by-play as we break down your Los Angeles Dodgers. This show is brought to you by Tick Pick and Fansided. Kevin Klein speaking. Jake Reiner, can you believe it? We're at the halfway mark of the season. By the time this game ends, the Dodgers will either be 50-31 or 49-32.
It's kind of crazy, isn't it? The season goes by so fast. I mean, it's a really long season, but it really whips by so fast because there are games every single day. And if you're the Dodgers, this is pretty great. They're in a terrible division and they're, you know, miles ahead of the next team. So this is the position you want to be in.
Yeah, the division appears to not be in question. It's just a matter of getting the right guys on this roster as we approach the trade deadline, just a little bit over a month away, but we're starting to build some major steam here. We'll definitely dive into some of these hot rumors. What's up, Dennis Gonzalez? What's up, Daniel Berry Sports Highlights? Thank you for tuning in. So your Los Angeles Dodgers have Kevin Bizou up to bat from what I can tell, and he's not going to be the main subject of the show tonight, although we probably will bash him. But I wasn't really planning on talking about this particular player. But due to his performance tonight, I think we got to start the show off with Bobby Miller, Jake. What is going on with Bobby Miller?
I mean, it is his second outing since coming back from his injury. So you kind of give him a little bit of rope, but he looks bad. And he looks similar to Walker Buehler, where you've got guys that can pitch really well, have pitched really well for us, but right now they can't get anybody out. They can't finish off any hitters. It seems like they are going, the counts are so deep. The pitch counts are all over the place. I mean, especially for Bobby Miller, I mean, he just has no command. He has no idea where the ball is going, and he looks bad, unfortunately. And I don't know what to do about that. I mean, there's really nothing we can do. The good news is that the Dodgers have a big enough lead in the division to where you hope that Miller and Buehler can pitch out of this slump that they're in and get back to form and what we're used to, because Bobby Miller, you know, went out there and pitched two innings and was bad and was really, and you know, you tax the bullpen that way, especially in, you know, in these games against these bad teams. I mean, you could really tax the bullpen against a bad White Sox team if your starter doesn't at least give you six. I mean, you figure against a really bad team like this, Bobby Miller could, you know, figure it out, get through it. But again, just a bad outing for him. And I'm inclined to give him a little bit more of a runway just because he just came back off the IL, but the command issue is troubling.
Yeah, like you said, Bobby Miller can get some rope because the Dodgers have a huge lead in the division, and I'm not too worried. So we'll see what Bobby Miller can do to get his mechanics right. But he's had two cupcake matchups against the Rockies. Give him a pass because it was in Coors and he was able to pitch deep. But tonight's performance was disgusting in a bad way. Like Craig Osterberg is saying, he had no control tonight. Threw 60 pitches across two innings. Only 33 of them were strikes. The other 27 balls, a lot of them weren't even close to the zone. In terms of what I think about Bobby Miller for the foreseeable future, this guy has all the talent in the world, but right now he's not looking like a frontline starter for the Dodgers. He looks more like a back end guy. And as we get closer and closer to the trade deadline, starting pitching is starting to really look like a pressing need for the Dodgers. To break it down even further, I think Jake mentioned Walker Buehler. David Rosenthal's ace has been horrible this season. He has an ERA of nearly 6, and he's back on the injured list. Will probably miss close to a month with some type of hip inflammation. On top of that, he can't throw a fastball that's fooling anybody. Even pre-Tommy John that season, his fastball wasn't this bad. And it's kind of ironic because he has more heat behind it this year, and yet hitters are just destroying whatever fastball Walker Buehler is throwing this year.
Because it just doesn't have the movement that it used to have. That was the best part about his fastball, was that it was in the high 90s, but it had late movement and you couldn't really track it. And now it's just a lot flatter, and he can't put hitters away. And yeah, I don't know why I forgot that he was on the IL. I actually think that's a good thing, so that he can, you know, figure it out and maybe come back. But I'm with you, man. I'm looking at the starting rotation, and I think I mentioned it to you the other night with how well Glasnow has been pitching, and he has been pitching really well. He's been the ace of the staff. With Yamamoto out, Miller, you don't know what you have. Kershaw had a setback, but you don't know what you're going to get from him. Gavin Stone's been awesome, so no worries there. Paxton's actually picked it back up, and he's been great. But I don't trust this rotation at all. From the standpoint of being healthy, I don't trust that they'll be ready for October. So yeah, they need to go out there and get a starter. And it looks like some of the rumors are saying that what we were kind of talking about last time, Kevin, about Crochet and maybe getting a package deal with him and Robert. I think that has to be the priority, is to at least get one, maybe even two starters, maybe a low-tier starter just to eat some innings for the rest of the year. But that has to be the focus, because the starting rotation, once again, this Dodgers starting rotation is in shambles.
Yeah. We'll go into those rumors a little bit later in this episode. But yeah, shout out to Michael Carrillo. He's throwing out Landon Knack's name in the chat. This guy is just getting it done for the Dodgers. He's actually become a piece of the rotation that we're relying on, and he's getting it done. He's kind of just the glue that's holding this rotation together from preventing what these bullpen games are. Like, today was not supposed to be a bullpen game with Bobby Miller, but because he only went 2 innings, now the bullpen has to work 6 or 7 innings, depending on if the White Sox come up to bat in the 9th, and it's just going to burn out these relievers. Yeah. Walker Buehler's on the injured list. Clayton Kershaw, as you mentioned, had a setback. Huge red flag. The fact that he's having shoulder soreness after his first official rehab start, and now they're going to lay him down for a week and then resume throwing. I don't even know if we can count on Kershaw coming back now this season. If this is what we're going to have to deal with, soreness and whatnot, that's not something I'm willing to bank on.
I think the way the front office should look at this is that you're not getting Yamamoto back, and you're not getting Kershaw back, and Bobby Miller's not coming to form. I mean, I feel like that's how they should play it, is just assume these guys aren't going to be there for you, so that you're not waiting around saying like, well, let's see if we have something, whatever, because that's been the case the past couple of postseasons. We've talked about how bad the offense has been in the playoffs, but not having good, solid starting pitching has been a huge problem for this team. And for a team that has so much star power, so many resources, they've got to attack this like they don't have those guys, because right now they don't, and they don't know if they're going to be coming back. And if they do come back, what are we going to get from them? The Kershaw thing, I think I'm not as bummed or worried about that, because in my opinion, it's whatever you get from Kershaw, you're going to get from Kershaw. I'm not sitting here thinking like, oh, we need to get him back and ready and stretched out for October and all that. I don't think that's what we're going to be able to rely on Kershaw for. We get what we're going to get from him, and we're going to be happy with just that, because he's been injured. He's definitely playing a lot older than he is, you know, because you have guys like Scherzer and Verlander who's still pumping, you know, high 90s in there, and Kershaw doesn't do that anymore, and he's getting hurt way more often. So you're relying on sort of that Tom Glavine, Greg Maddux kind of pitching style from Kershaw, which he's adapted so well. But I don't think you can really bank on him being there, which is why I think the plan needs to be, let's go out and get a frontline starter.
And that's my biggest fear from the front office, is if they have the mindset of, well, we're getting Clayton Kershaw back, and worst case scenario, he's our number three or number four postseason starter come October again. I think that's setting us up for some more doom and gloom.
No.
So I'm hoping, because this Dodgers team has a pretty strong reputation of nostalgia and loyalty and banking on the guys that came through for them in the past. And I really hope they don't make this mistake with Kershaw, because I'm almost counting Kershaw out for the year. And if you get anything from him in the regular season, then that's a bonus.
I'm with you. That's exactly what I was saying. And you really can't have what happened in the postseason happen again, because Kershaw lost that series for us in the first inning. I mean, pretty much plain and simple, they were not coming back from that. Now, granted, you'd like to be able to see some fight in that offense, but it just wasn't there. They didn't have the starting pitching. Bobby Miller pitched terrible. Lance Lynn pitched terrible. I mean, it was a complete disaster. So you can't do that again. And I think that this front office is going to make those moves. They kind of hung back last year because they were prepping for Ohtani and all of that. So they didn't really go too hard at the trade deadline. They got like Ahmed Rosario. They got Kike. They got Joe Kelly. I mean, they got Lance Lynn. They didn't really go all in on someone and get what they actually needed. This year, they need to do that, because we've got a team to win the World Series, and the National League is just weak. It's a weak league. So this Dodgers team can get through the National League. The Braves aren't as vaunted as they once were. The Phillies are really good, and the Brewers are decent, and they're good. But you look at the rest of the league, and you're like, this should be a cakewalk to the World Series. So I don't think they can screw around here. They need to attack this like they're not going to get another opportunity the following year. We got to capitalize on all of the years that we have of Ohtani, Freeman, and Betts, and Will Smith. That's what we have to do.
UCLA Lakers asking about Dustin May. I wouldn't count on him either.
Is he supposed to be back this year?
He's currently throwing, but not off a mound yet.
Whatever.
Long toss and all that.
I'm so sick of this rotation getting hurt as much as they do. It's just maddening.
Yeah, I wouldn't count on Dustin May either. Who knows when he can ever stay healthy. So thank you, everyone, for being in the chat. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button. Let's move on. So June is getting hot. And Jake, you know who else is hot in June? Only the best player on planet Earth, Shohei Ohtani. 10 home runs and counting so far in the month of June. We still got 5 days left. Ever since they've moved him to the leadoff spot, it's like we're seeing a new version of Ohtani unlocked. I don't know if it's just the pitching is weaker. I mean, there have been some bad matchups. Like, we went to Coors. They suck. Facing the White Sox right now, they're trash. Or Ohtani is just thriving right now. So this begs the question from AO_Christian19 on Instagram. Then we'll get into this. Should Shohei stay in the leadoff spot when Mookie returns?
I had thought about that, actually. Yes. I mean, is the short answer, because you want Ohtani to be hitting as much as he is, you know, as the lineup turns over and over and over again. The guy in the leadoff spot is going to get the most at bats. But again, you have the other caveat, which is Mookie Betts doesn't really thrive in any other slot in the lineup historically. So you risk that. But I think with the way Ohtani is hitting the ball in the leadoff spot, just to get that instant offense, like Kyle Schwarber back in the day, right? Back when we were growing up watching baseball, should have no business being in the leadoff spot, but he was in the leadoff spot during the whole Phillies postseason run the past couple of years. And that's why, because you get that instant offense at the top of the order. Now, I'm not saying Mookie Betts doesn't have power, and he does have a lot of leadoff home runs, but the opportunity for a home run in the leadoff spot is just astronomical when it comes to Ohtani. And I think that also with his speed and his ability to steal bases, he has that kind of combination of speed and power that you want in the leadoff spot. Now, the power is much greater than you would think about a typical leadoff hitter, but he's faster than Mookie Betts. He steals more bases than Mookie Betts does, and he's a better base runner. So I think that if you look based on results, and we'll see. Whenever Mookie comes back, we'll see what Ohtani's doing at that time. But if Mookie Betts were to come back today, I don't think you could move him out of the leadoff spot.
Seems like in recent interviews, Mookie Betts is more open to moving down in the order. And the way I look at it, just the last two postseasons, the way they've went, Mookie Betts kind of doesn't deserve to be an automatic lock in that spot because he wasn't coming through at all as the leadoff hitter the last two October runs when we were first round exits. Another argument as to why you are happy with Shohei Ohtani in the leadoff spot, you get to stack the lineup in a more favorable way. You go lefty with Ohtani, righty with Betts if he's batting second, go back to a lefty with Freeman, go back to a righty with Smith, go back to a lefty with Muncy once he comes back, go back to a righty with Teoscar, and then at 7 through 9, you know, we'll see who's on the team by then. You pick your poison. It makes it a lot tougher for managers to choose the reliever.
Because, I agree. Finish your thought.
I was just going to say, because what I've noticed a lot this season is until the Dodgers were kind of starting to destroy them was teams were using a lot of left-handed relievers, and you would have Ohtani and Freeman back-to-back, which made it very enticing for managers to go with the lefty.
That's a good point. I think the bigger issue is where Betts will play in the field as opposed to in the lineup, because what I'm looking at right now with Miguel Rojas, wow. I mean, just, I feel so comfortable when a ball is hit to him at shortstop. Just, I know he's going to make the play. I know he's going to make the right play. He's going to make a good, strong throw to first base, and he's not going to, you know, put Freddie Freeman into a pretzel. I just feel like we've got to move off of the Mookie Betts shortstop experiment. Put him in a position where he doesn't have to think about it. Put him in the outfield. Put him at second base at the very least. Put him at second base. But do not return him to shortstop. I've had it with that experiment. I applaud him for the work ethic and all of the ground balls he's taken prior to the games and all the work he's put into it. I admire him. He's a team captain for a reason. He's a gamer and a baller for a reason. And he's one of our best players for a reason. And that just shows the whole leadership of Mookie Betts. But with that being said, he's not a shortstop. He shouldn't be. And there are better options on this team, let alone out there on the trade block. But there are better options on this team in Miguel Rojas to play shortstop than Mookie Betts.
Doom_Sal mentions below in the chat, Rojas is demonstrating.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
He's been a leader of this team the last two games. Very true. Rojas has really shined with Mookie Betts out. You can definitely see him being a lot more aggressive and more assertive in terms of his leadership demonstrations.
And they're undefeated when he gets a hit.
23-0, the most random stat of the season, I think.
It's a major league record to start a season, which is incredible.
Things you just don't expect in baseball. So, back to Ohtani, my final thoughts on what he's just been doing in the leadoff spot. He's hitting a little over 400 ever since moving into that number one hole. 5 home runs, 14 RBIs, OPS of like 1400 something. And just from the eye test, it feels like he's coming through a lot more with runners in scoring position.
He is. Even tonight against the White Sox, It was first and third and one out. Kevin Biggio struck out. That you could have predicted. And then Shohei Ohtani grounded one through the right side and gave the Dodgers the lead. And they have the lead currently in the top of the seventh. So he has been doing a lot better. But I think overall, Kevin, ever since Mookie Betts went down, Ohtani has stepped up. He has taken control of this team offensively. And the rest of the hitters in this lineup have followed suit. Freddie Freeman is hitting a lot better. Will Smith is, you know, Will Smith. Teoscar Hernandez has been out of, well, he's been out of this world the entire season. But the bottom of the order, too, has been better. I think that leading by example, Ohtani has really come into his own with this team. And I think what kind of happened maybe at the beginning of this season is that Ohtani, even though he's the highest paid player in Major League history, he may have come into this team kind of not knowing where his place was. Because unlike the Angels, I mean, the Dodgers have superstars in Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman and Will Smith and Max Muncy. He's not used to playing with this much talent. He was just used to playing with Mike Trout, and that's
it. Who was injured half the time.
Who was always hurt. So it was all Ohtani all the time. And I feel like kind of to start the season, he didn't really know where he fit. He was batting second in between two megastars. And as soon as Mookie Betts goes out, it feels like he's elevated his game to another level. And he is just destroying the baseball.
MVP front runner, without a doubt. I don't know why there's Braves fans out there trying to push this narrative that Marcell Ozuna has been just as effective as Shohei Ohtani this season. And they're now trying to diminish the fact that Ohtani just is getting more love because he's stealing bases. When, let's go back a year.
Hello.
They were pushing for Acuna Jr. because he was stealing all the bases. So the hypocrisy is just unbelievable sometimes from other baseball fan bases.
Yeah. No, they need to pipe down.
Let's talk some trade deadline. Today was a very big day in terms of Dodgers rumors. Ken Rosenthal and Jeff Passan dropped some bombs. Not that either of these were that surprising, but Ken Rosenthal already kind of confirmed what we were thinking. The Dodgers are in on outfielder Luis Robert, who is playing right now against our team, and Garrett Crochet. We just saw Crochet yesterday. He looked really good. Can't remember the exact stats, but I'm pretty sure he went 5 2/3 innings, six strikeouts, didn't give up a run. This guy throws high velocity for a lefty, 98, 99. He kind of reminds me of Chris Sale in a way, the way he throws and has a nasty slider as well. Obviously, the price would be very high to acquire either of these, let alone both of them at the same time. But I'm definitely interested more in Crochet, I think, than Robert. And I'll explain why in a second.
Well, probably has something to do with the fact that Robert is injury prone and hasn't had a good season so far. But I'm with you. I think that the priority needs to be a starting pitcher. Because I feel like this team, even if they don't acquire another bat, which they definitely should, I feel like this team has enough offensive power to get it done in October. They just have to hit. They just have to play to their abilities and they will score runs. But where the need is more dire is the starting rotation. And so Garrett Crochet really showed us something yesterday in the way he kind of carved up this Dodgers lineup. You can kind of foreshadow or foresee him carving up an elite offense in the playoffs, like a Phillies team or something like that. So I really like what I saw from Crochet. I think he's a great candidate, but to me, I'd rather have Randy Arozarena than Luis Robert any day of the week.
Yes, that's the other guy. More on that in a second. So Crochet, yes, I see people mentioning he is injury prone. And like any starting pitcher, that is always a concern. So we kind of have to be careful in terms of what we'd have to give up for Crochet. But my biggest fear is that the Padres make a move for him and then he dicks us down in the playoffs. So I'm really, really nervous in terms of where Crochet ends up, because I do think he is a really talented pitcher. I threw his name out last week and I think he is also a trade candidate. Eric Fetty kind of foaming at the mouth tomorrow because he's scheduled to face the Dodgers. So I'm curious to see how he does against one of the best lineups in Major League Baseball. I think he is still also a realistic trade candidate. And then, of course, the Tigers are bad as usual. And Jack Flaherty is expected to get traded at the trade deadline. Another name that I actually would be very interested in the Dodgers trading for. He's really bounced back this season. Can't think of the numbers off the top of my head, but I can pull them up real quick. I know his ERA is below 3 right now. So 292 ERA, 108 strikeouts across 83 innings thrown. So he's kind of pitching like Tyler Glasnow in a sense. And he's another local guy from Burbank, went to high school in Los Angeles. So just like Tyler Glasnow, a local guy with a lot of strikeout upside. And so I'm in on Flaherty as well.
Yeah, I think him coming home is a great opportunity for him. We had had that conversation, I think, even last season about, you know, the possibility of getting Lucas Giolito, same kind of deal that they were, I believe they were teammates at Harvard Westlake. So yeah, would love to have Flaherty. I would love to get two starting pitchers. I mean, if I'm being honest and greedy, which I think the Dodgers should be, give me two starters because you never know. You just never know. You can never have enough pitching. And this team desperately needs it. But yeah, I'm not sold on Robert. I'm just not. I mean, he's a great talent and he's got a lot of power and he's got a lot of speed and he's a good center fielder and all of those things, but he's not been good. Like he just hasn't been. And he gets hurt. He's had one really good season and the rest have just been kind of meh. And I don't know if that's a product of him being on one of the worst teams in baseball, but still, it's just, I don't know if it's enough.
I think he is a product. I think he's a product as to why they're bad, to be honest.
Could be the other way around. But
I don't mean to cut
off. No, go. I had nothing else to say.
Okay. So I, this is where I think people are kind of getting drawn into some name recognition and hype and maybe the flair, because like you were saying, Luis Robert is a talented player, but he's also not done a lot in his career to really warrant the asking price that some people speculate that the White Sox would expect in exchange for Robert. And I don't think this is like trading for Manny Ramirez, to be honest. I don't know how big of an impact Luis Robert would really have for the Dodgers. And like his past suggests, he could get injured tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying like he's going to flame out like a Dozier or Tim Anderson, but just the way he's hitting this season doesn't really entice me enough to really go all in for this guy. I don't know yet if he's really a difference maker in October. And it's like the White Sox built this team centered around him and they're bad. So maybe we kind of have to look in the mirror and kind of scapegoat or point him out and say maybe Robert's part of the reason the White Sox are a failure, because they did a whole rebuild. We were expecting them to dominate the AL Central and they haven't done it,
and the AL Central is ripe for dominating. It shouldn't be that hard, and yet they've made it really difficult on themselves.
So Jeff Passan wrote an article and he thinks that Randy Arozarena, who Jake just mentioned, is the most, they're a match made in heaven, that the Dodgers of any team could be the best suited to acquire Randy Arozarena. So Jake, why do you prefer Randy Arozarena over Robert or any other names, I guess?
I'll tell you why. And I'll start with telling you the kind of the bad news about Arozarena, which is that he's having a pretty abysmal year. He's hitting 191 on the season, 10 home runs, 27 RBIs. And he's got an OPS plus of 88. So not a good season for him. But let me just tell you guys what his stats are in October. This guy, over five seasons, nine different series, he's hitting .336 with an OPS well over 1,000, 11 home runs, and 17 RBIs. That's it. That's what you want. Put that guy on this team. It's why Kike Hernandez is still on this team. Kike Hernandez has not hit well enough to remain on this team and in the lineup as much as he is. But he's there because they know that when October comes around, for whatever reason, he performs. Now, let's get Kike Hernandez on steroids, which is Randy Arozarena. That guy is just chomping at the bit for the spotlight. This guy loves the moment. He's playing for a bad Rays team right now. in a really tough division. They're one game under 500. They're like 12 and a half games out of first place in the AL East. I'm not really sure where they are on the wild card, but it doesn't really look like they're going anywhere fast. You put Randy Arozarena, who you take him from the Rays, who I don't know how many people watch those games, probably not a lot. You put him on the most high-profile team in Major League Baseball with all of these stars, his personality in the clubhouse, his personality on the field, the fans are going to love him. He's going to be electric. He's going to be better than he is right now during the regular season. And just wait till he gets to the playoffs. That's when he thrives. That's all I needed to see. That's all I even care about. And because maybe he's not playing so well right now, his asking price might not be as astronomical as it would be had he been having a better season so far. So I'm all in on Randy Arozarena. You can forget Luis Robert. I don't even want to hear his name anymore. Give me Randy.
All right, so let's see. You mentioned he's hitting .336 in the playoffs. He has 128 plate appearances, .690 slugging, which is insane, .414 on base. This guy has to be the top priority. If his name is on the market, this is who the Dodgers need to focus in on. Part of the reason I think his numbers aren't so great in Tampa, probably part of it is his fault. He's not doing well. But at the same time, he's playing on a bad team where he has no one around him for batting protection. So when the opposing pitchers know Arozarena's up, they just go right at him. He has no protection. It's a very watered down Rays team for a variety of reasons. Don't need to go into that. But we saw the Dodgers and Rays make one trade earlier in the offseason. Who knows if Randy Arozarena was in those discussions at one point. I know Friedman has a great relationship with Tampa Bay. But this is the comp of Manny Ramirez. If Arozarena came to Los Angeles, I would stake my reputation that he turns the world around and he lights it up. Scorched earth, Joker, burning hospitals down. This guy would be a madman and honestly destroy anything that crosses his path. Could you imagine a lineup in October where you have Teoscar Hernandez and Randy Arozarena and they're not even your stars?
Right. And you and I, Kevin, were in Arizona for the World Baseball Classic 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And we watched Randy Arozarena play for Team Mexico. And the way he embraced the spotlight on him, he was signing autographs in between innings, in the middle of innings. The crowd was loving him. That's where he thrives. He thrives on the big stage. That's what you want. You want guys that want the moment, that want to be there for that. There are, you know, only certain amount of players in Major League Baseball that thrive in those high-pressure situations like a Corey Seager. You know what I'm saying? These are the guys that you want on your team. The Jock Petersons of the world, the Kike Hernandez of the world, those are your complimentary players. Those are your bench players that come alive in October. This is a star. Mm-hmm. This is a star. Put him on a team that's already made up of stars. Let's go full scorched earth. Let's go full Death Star. I don't care. Load this team up. Win a fucking ring. That's what we need to do.
And I feel like if you acquire Randy Arozarena, then you don't need to trade for a shortstop, because I think you can afford to have Miguel Rojas at the very bottom of your lineup and you sacrifice the offense for the defense that he's going to provide you, because I'll be damned if we have a lineup out there with all those guys plus Arozarena and they don't score in October. Like, at that point, we're not losing games because our nine hitter can't hit that well. This is just back to being in the National League when pitchers hit. So that wouldn't be an excuse and fly in my book.
I agree. And I think, and I've said this before, shortstop is the most important position on the infield in terms of who you want your best defender, where you want to put your best defender. And to me, you sacrifice the offense because this team, even without Arozarena, has enough offense to score and beat teams. But you want a guy that's solid as hell at shortstop. That's Miguel Rojas. And if it's not going to be Miguel Rojas, then go out and get a starting shortstop. But don't you dare put Mookie Betts back there. I have had it with that experiment.
So I think we found the formula. We get the 2020 Dodgers killer in Randy Arozarena, who just lit it up in the ALCS and the World Series. and we get some starting pitching and probably one reliever while we're at it. And that should conclude the trade deadline. I don't think we need to get much crazier than that. Bo Bichette still is intriguing, but I don't think you need Bo Bichette if you have a Rosarena, because then you just, like you said, move Rojas to shortstop. Oh, don't worry, Michael Carrillo. We'll get to Gavin Lux. Don't worry. There isn't a show these days where I skip that guy. So we're going to talk about next some of our heroes and zeros of the first half for the Dodgers. But before we do that, quick pause to talk about Tick Pick. I don't know what you guys are doing for 4th of July, but if you're looking to see the Dodgers play in person, make sure to download the Tick Pick app. No service fees at checkout. I'm about to use Tick Pick to get some Blink-182 concerts. I'm going to be a crazy man and go all the way to Fresno because I'm out of town while they're in Los Angeles and San Diego. So I'm going to go to Fresno, never been there, to watch Blink-182 using the Tick Pick app. But also, NBA is coming up again. Well, J.J. Redick is the coach of the Lakers. Maybe I'll talk some thoughts about that near the end of the show. But I think this is a really exciting time to get your Lakers tickets, if they're available, on the Tick Pick app. NFL season is just a few months away as well. So if you're an avid concert goer, like your sports, download the Tick Pick app. No fees, unlike SeatGeek, Vivid Seats, all that shit. They're great, and you can count on them.
You know, okay. Your boy Gavin Lux just picked up his second hit of the night. So
it's the White Sox. All right, Jake, we're halfway through the season. Wanted you to spotlight some names that you would grade. Give them a grade if you want. Just throw a few names out there. I'll cut you off if I had them as well. And give me your first half thoughts on them.
Well, from what I've seen from Teoscar Hernandez, I think we need to extend him. Now, I know that we're kind of trying to see if, you know, he'll come alive in October. But for him, having the season that he's having so far, the impact that he's had on the clubhouse, the sunflower seeds bit, all of it's been great. He plays a great outfield, and he really loves it here. And that's the part of it that I kind of latch on to, is that he loves playing for the Dodgers. And for me, that means a lot. That goes a long way for Dodgers fans, I think, for this organization. And he doesn't want to bounce around anymore. I think that he's done kind of bouncing around from team to team. I think he's found a home. I think we should keep him. It's going to cost a lot of money, but that's why Shohei Ohtani deferred a bajillion dollars every year so that we could build this team how they want to build it. So Teoscar Hernandez is someone that I've been loving so far this season. You want to do like one back and forth so that I'm not sure. Just talking for a half an hour.
My A+ has to be Tyler Glass. Now, I just think right now he's pitching like the Cy Young front runner. I'm pretty sure he leads all National League pitchers in F-WAR. No one's throwing more innings than him. No one's striking out more hitters than this guy. 100 innings thrown, 135 strikeouts, 2.88 ERA, 2.63 FIP, which means he is legit as can be. Everything you wanted to ask out of Tyler Glass now, he is coming through every single night. It's remarkable to see a pitcher on the Dodgers. Feel like I'm dreaming, going 7, maybe sometimes 8, because this was really not a thing for the Dodgers the last few years. And scares me a little how many innings they're willing to put on this guy's arm this season. But just based off this first half alone, Tyler Glass now A+. Every time this guy takes the ball, I'm like, he's about to fucking strike 10 guys out. This guy has that tenacity. Love him.
Yeah. Teoscar, I'm going to give him an A+. I forgot to give a grade, but definitely A+ for him. I'm going to give a reliever a shout out. I think Anthony Banda coming out of nowhere, being as electric as he's been, a high leverage reliever. Let's put him and Alex Vesia together, right? The two of them have been awesome. Vesia started out a little slow, but he's been electric. He's actually collected some saves along the way. He's high leverage as all get out. And same with Anthony Banda. That was one of the things we were worried about at the beginning of the season, which was we didn't really have a high leverage lefty, or at least we didn't think we did. And how would that play out? And, you know, Trining got hurt. Kelly got hurt. Gratterall's been hurt. All these guys that were good, you know, reverse splits guys were all getting hurt. And then came the emergence of Alex Vesia, who doesn't throw the ball that hard, but blows people away with his fastball. Just the movement on it, the late movement on it, is very, very deceptive. and hitters can't pick it up. And Banda's been great. He came in tonight. He pitched well. So those two guys, I'm going to give an A to them.
Alex Vesey was the next guy I was going to highlight as well, giving him an A+. I think this is a guy I gave like a D last season or maybe an F. And he's really rebounded this year. After the post game yesterday, when he got that save, Kirsten Watson interviewed him, and you could just tell this guy was still fired up. This guy is pitching on a mission this year. He's got that chip on his shoulder where he's definitely showing he has a lot to prove. And the fact that they're using him in high leverage now, like they are, and he's coming through basically every single time. 1.26 ERA for Vesia, second best reliever, third best reliever in the pen, however you want to stack it. This bullpen as a whole is the best in the National League. And despite the amount of injuries, I don't even know if Gratterall is going to come back this season. They're the best bullpen statistically in the National League. Guys like Daniel Hudson, Blake Treinen, Evan Phillips, Vesia, Banda, Johan Ramirez, Michael Peterson, who's recently burst onto the scene, Yarbrough, they're all getting it done pretty much on a consistent nightly basis.
They are. And it's the aspect of this team that continues to defy logic. Every single year, they're good. It doesn't matter who's out there, and it doesn't matter who gets injured. They still weather the storm. They're still really well coached. They're really well managed by Dave Roberts. I mean, Dave Roberts has been excellent with managing the bullpen during the regular season. I don't know what happens in October, but during the regular season, he really does handle the bullpen pretty damn well, and they've responded. Evan Phillips at the back end, I mean, so solid, just so solid. Occasionally he'll blow up, but it's like you think about all the times, and I don't want to bash Kenley Jansen, but it's like towards the back end of Kenley's, you know, Dodgers career, it was like you didn't know what was going to happen. And similarly with like Craig Kimbrell, right? You'd come into a game, you wouldn't know like what the hell was going to happen. Is he going to blow it? Is he going to walk a bunch of guys? It was always sweated out time with those guys. But Evan Phillips, you really don't have to sweat it out with him. He's so good. He always has command. He's always cool, calm, and collected. He comes into any situation with runners on base, clean inning, doesn't matter. He's got ice in his veins. He's a terrific closer. And I don't think the league as a whole is really talking much about Evan Phillips, but man, that guy's dominant. A+.
All right, chat, feel free to drop your questions below. We'll do some Q&A to close out the show. But before we get to that, as they start to type in the chat for us, any other players, Jake?
I mean, the Freddie Freemans, the Will Smiths of the world, the Mookie Betts. I mean, they've all been great. Unfortunately, Max Muncy has not been around, which I think that they are going to miss him a lot as he continues to be out with that oblique. The bottom of the order has been kind of trash for the most part, but you're starting to see Chris Taylor figure things out. I just saw on the broadcast that they said he's hitting 400 over his last six games. So that's good to see him kind of like getting hits, which is nice, and not striking out every time. Miguel Rojas has been a beautiful bright spot. We've talked a lot about him, but the bottom of the order has been rough, and they've been able to even weather the storm with Mookie Betts being out, with Max Muncy being out. They're still able to score runs at a nice clip, even with the bottom of the order. Kevin Biggio has been terrible, as we know. Gavin Lux has been bad. Even with all of these quote-unquote black holes in this lineup, they've still been able to weather the storm.
So my honor.
Pajes, too. Andy Pajes has been great.
Definitely. Making some nice catches as well.
Yeah.
So my honorable mention will go to Kevin Biggio, and shout out to friend Chris Camello, who quote tweeted me wanting an investigation to make sure this guy's actually related to Craig Biggio. But yeah, Kevin Biggio has just been Mr. Freeze out down the middle. Not good. Probably got to be near the end for him.
And they said in the beginning of this game tonight, at the beginning of the broadcast, Joe said something about how Dave Roberts was telling Biggio to be more aggressive because of what you were saying. He was taking too many pitches down the middle. I don't think that's the issue. I don't think him being aggressive or not being aggressive is the issue. The issue is his swing. It's so big. It's so long. He doesn't have the power to be swinging like that. I don't know how that's worked for him his entire career. And granted, I've not been watching him. And also, you know, full disclosure, I'm not getting a hit anyway either. So it's not like I could go up there and do a better job than Kevin Biggio. But just watching him at the plate, I'm like, he's taking these huge hacks. And it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the same thing, Kevin, but like, he's taking these big swings and he doesn't need to, especially with runners on base, less than two outs, runners in scoring position, a guy on third base. You got to be shortening up, you know, chipping the ball left and right, slapping the ball. That's what he should be doing, or hitting a fly ball somewhere and slapping it to the outfield. But his approach is just doesn't make sense to me.
Remember when the front office, whoever said it, the coaching staff, they said they were excited to bring Biggio aboard because they felt like they found fixable mechanics in his swing. Well, we haven't seen it. I feel like they gave us the same bullshit with Joey Gallo. Didn't fix it either. That I don't even know if that guy's still in the league, but Kevin Biggio is borderline Koreatown. Okay, my last guy, and then we'll get to the question. So this actually will be a shout out as well on Instagram. Where are you, Javi? 791. Can this please be the end of the road for Gavin Lux? So my final grade, Gavin Lux, giving him an F. Don't care that he's raised his batting average to a measly 225. Don't care that he got some hits against the Rockies and the White Sox. Gets good pitchers. He doesn't get the job done. He has not been good this season. I don't need to beat a dead horse, but I cannot wait for the Dodgers to make some upgrades so I can get this guy out of the Dodgers lineup. Because when I watch Gavin Lux hit, I'm depressed, honestly. I get really depressed. Nothing about him indicates that he's any good, other than people still circling back to the fact that he was one of the top prospects in all of Major League Baseball. But other than that, he had like one or two good months a couple years ago, and that's it.
The Dodgers aren't losing games because of Gavin Lux. So that has to be a factor in there of why they're allowing him to have this long leash, because they want him to be good, obviously. I mean, I'm sure he wants to be good, and he's been struggling mightily. The power isn't there. The speed isn't there. He's actually been playing a pretty decent second base. So that's good, but he's been pretty bad. In the middle of that lineup too, hitting sixth. I know that they moved him down. They've tried him in different spots, but he's just not, I don't know whether it's, he's not recovered well from the knee injury or what it is with him, but it's been a tough watch all season long. I still am hopeful, just like I'm hopeful with Chris Taylor, and I'm hopeful with Kike Hernandez. Cause I love these guys. And I want them to do well because they play for the Dodgers. I think sometimes we forget about that when we're shitting on these guys. It's like, well, yeah, we're shitting on them because they're not playing well, but we also want them to do well. So when they do make marginal improvements, I actually am excited for Gavin Lux getting hits against the Rockies and the White Sox because he wasn't getting hits against anybody. So to me, that's a difference and an improvement for him. And I just hope that as the season wears on, that he can start to figure it out at the plate, because right now it's not like they're needing him to provide RBIs and power, because this team is winning and they're scoring runs. So I feel like they're going to allow him a little bit more time to try and still figure it out.
If there weren't all these injuries, I don't know what would happen with Gavin Lux right now. First question from Michael Carrillo. What do you think about trading for JJ Bleday? He has a great hitter profile. He's having a nice season for the Athletics.
Yeah, he's hitting 254, 11 homers, 29 RBIs.
And JJ Bleday, to me, just sounds like a guy that plays for the Los Angeles Dodgers. I don't know what it is about that name. It just sounds like a guy that plays for the Dodgers. But to answer the question, I'm out. And it's simply on the fact that he has no experience being on a good team. And I'm not willing to bite that bullet this season, risking going with inexperienced guys come October, because I feel like we've tried that the last few years and they get blinded by the lights and they don't come through. James Outman was great in the regular season, disappeared in October.
Also, why would the A's move him?
Just to get more assets. That's
I mean, he is an asset. He's a young, he's 26. I mean,
get more. Turn one guy into three, I guess, is the logic.
Yeah. I mean, the truth is you don't know, right? I mean, you could acquire him and he could be great in October, just randomly, you know? So, but I think I'm with you. I'd rather go with a surefire guy with a resume like a Rosarena.
Question coming from Craig Osterberg. Why don't the Dodgers give their top AAA players a chance to see what they can do in the big leagues instead of dumpster diving?
Well, I think for the most part, they have given a lot of guys opportunities like Vargas and Outman. They, you know, gave a real shot to, you know, Bobby Miller, Gavin Stone, Landon Knack. All these guys are, you know, AAA prospects that have come up to the big leagues that they've called up. So I feel like they are giving them a lot of opportunities. I think that in terms of third base, like that's an opportunity. I think that they could explore bringing someone out from AAA because right now they're not getting any production out of that third base position.
Yeah, Jake pretty much covered what I was going to say. They have been giving their guys opportunities. Páez is the everyday center fielder. Miguel Vargas is up on their major league roster.
Yeah, I forgot. Sorry.
And they don't seem to want to play him, even though he's hitting 344. It seems like Vargas is finally turning it on, and yet they minimize his at-bats.
The pitcher, he can't play the field.
I guess so. The pitchers are there. The reason I don't think we need two starting pitchers, and I kind of forgot to say this earlier in the show, is I think River Ryan's actually going to be one of those starting pitchers they call up. So you add Ryan, and then you trade for a big arm outside, and you get through. So I think that's another guy we can bank on, hopefully, if he's healthy. The guys that they don't seem to give the chance to, though, are the lesser top-tier prospects that aren't the big flashy trade chips, like the Andre Lipsius and the Ryan Wards, who are hitting like 20 home runs in the minors, or the Hunter Fiducias. Those are the guys that are raking, and they don't seem to give them the call-ups.
Fiducia is a guy that I would really love to see. I don't know how much more I can watch of Austin Barnes. It is just, oh. And they run on him all day long. He can't throw a damn runner out. I know he's a captain, and they love him in the clubhouse, and pitchers love to throw to him and all that stuff, and it's great. But he's so bad. He's such a bad hitter, and they don't use him how they're supposed to use him. He needs to be bunting more. I'm going to say it every single podcast that we talk about Austin Barnes and guys like Biggio and Lux and Kike Hernandez. They need to go to the Maury Wills school of bunting and learn how to freaking bunt. Dave Roberts was a good bunter. He needs to take that group and teach them how to bunt. And then not only teach them how to bunt, but put the damn sign on and have them bunt. Because I don't understand the point of having a guy like Austin Barnes go up there, either an automatic out via the strikeout, or if there's a runner on first base with less than two outs, it's an automatic double play. So it's just frustrating. And they're not going to do it. They're not going to do it because they love Austin Barnes. But I think that I would love to see Hunter Fiducia. I mean, look, you think about it this way. If Hunter Fiducia comes to the major leagues and he can hit, think about how many more days off Will Smith can get, right? Like, he could be fresher for the postseason. You wouldn't have to play Will Smith so much because Austin Barnes can't hit. I just think that there's such an upside to not having this guy in the team anymore. But as we know, they love Barnesy. They're not going to get rid of him. He's going to be there. He's going to be on this postseason roster. And we're just going to have to live with it. But it is frustrating.
All right, hold that thought on Will Smith. I'm going to get back to him in 1 second. Just wanted to mention to anyone listening, if you're not in the loop, Diego Cartaya was called up to AAA as well. So another big prospect on the rise. Not sure if that's a showcase opportunity for Cartaya, hoping that he rakes in AAA and they're willing to pawn him off to bring in that big asset. But I do think that is worth noting that Cartaya did get called up. So Will Smith is in a slump, Jake. I don't know if you've noticed this, but his batting average has declined to 264. He's like in a one or a 2-for-30 slump, batting like 195 over his last 30 games. The power, for the most part, is kind of falling off as well. Are you a little bit concerned about Will Smith right now?
Yes and no. Yes, because of kind of what I was just talking about, the fact that he's having to catch a lot more than maybe you would like him to if they had a decent backup catcher. But I think the other part of it is that he's hitting second in this lineup now without Mookie Betts. And I don't know that that's a good spot for him. It just doesn't seem like he's having the best at bats. But even tonight, I mean, he hit two balls 100 miles an hour off the bat that were outs. You know, that happens a lot with Will Smith. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I have to imagine his expected batting average is a lot higher than people want to give him credit for, because he does hit the ball hard. They're just being caught. So I'm not too worried about it, because I know what kind of player Will Smith is, and I know that he'll bounce back, and I know he'll be fine. But yeah, it is a little concerning. But again, the Dodgers are winning, so it's not like that is, you know, not allowing them to win games. So he can afford to go through a slump as far as I'm concerned, because he's been an all-star level catcher pretty much the whole season.
Final question from Dennis Gonzalez, and then we'll get your final thoughts or subjects to quickly close out the show. Who's the top third base prospect the Dodgers currently have? Well, I looked it up. It looks like it's Jake Giloff, who's in high single A right now.
Oh, Jake Geloff.
Geloff.
It's Zach Geloff's brother.
Right. 22nd overall prospect in the Dodgers pipeline. So for now, that's what they list him as. Jake, final thoughts, things we didn't cover, anything you want to talk about before we sign out?
Anything I want to talk about? Well, I mean, the Dodgers are going through a pretty soft spot in their schedule right now. They're playing a lot of bad teams. So it's just about beating up on these bad teams, growing that lead in the division so that they can maybe start to experiment with some things. Like I was saying, I mean, maybe Will Smith is not who you want to have hitting second. Maybe you want to try Páez up there. You know, there are other options that you can kind of tinker with this lineup to see kind of what works and what doesn't work. Hopefully we can get some guys back from injury. Hopefully Kershaw can rebound and maybe we can see him sooner than later, but who knows? This team is fine, you know, at the moment. They are good enough to win games with the roster that they have right now, but they better go all in for this trade deadline. That's all I'm going to say. It better be a big splash, at least one or two big splashes, because they've got to capitalize on the team that they have right now, and they can win a World Series with this team.
We're so close from getting the final results of this game. If Evan Phillips can close this out, the Dodgers bullpen will have tossed 7 scoreless innings tonight. So applaud to them, even though it's the White Sox who suck. Giving up 7 scoreless runs against professionals is still awesome. So I don't think I even have any final thoughts. I don't even know who the Dodgers play next on the schedule. I should probably have looked that up before I did this. Oh, they got the Giants. Okay.
I think Giants, the Giants and the D-backs are coming up too, right?
Okay. Yes, you are correct. So my final thoughts is, I'm just looking around the National League, and the teams that kind of scare me the most still remain the Phillies. They just are pretty well-rounded. And the San Diego Padres are really starting to figure some things out. I think they had 3 consecutive games where they had a walk-off or a 9th-inning home run, which no franchise, I think, had ever done that before. They just are a scrappy bunch. And even though they're around 500, I'm not willing to, you know, laugh at their record. I've made that mistake in the past. So,
I mean, look, even if they aren't playing well, they still beat the shit out of us this year. So it doesn't really matter that they have a team that plays us really well. And like we've talked about at the beginning of the season, they've built their team to be able to beat us. And so far that's worked.
Yeah. So these next games are against the NL West opponents. So it's going to be pretty important to win these games and separate ourselves from the division. If we can turn the D-backs and the Giants into sellers at the deadline, that's a big win, because I don't want these teams to be the 6th seed. You never know. These playoffs are crazy, man. Crazy shit happens. So we got a couple minutes here, so why not just throw it out? First off, make sure to subscribe to the Incline Dodgers podcast. Wherever you're listening, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. So Jake, in 60 seconds or less, I'm just going to say, and you can chime in, I'm so hyped that JJ Redick is the coach of the Lakers. I will run through a wall for this guy. This guy's an intellect. He knows what's up. He He's going to run the team through Anthony Davis. I feel like he has great awareness of what's going on around him. And I feel like good things are about to come for the Lakers. A plus hire. I'm all in. Great shit.
Yeah, I really like the hire too. And I mean, look, by default, I think it was the best option out there. I don't think that you look around the landscape of all the coaches that had experience of head coaching or at the very least assistant coaching, and none of them really jumped off the page where you're like, oh, you got to go get that guy. You got to go hire that guy. This was sort of an out of the box type of hire. He crushed the press conference. He is very raw and real. Love his personality. I'm really looking forward to him prioritizing Anthony Davis, because I feel like a lot of the times down the stretch, even in the playoffs, AD kind of was not involved in the offense, and it was very LeBron centric, where he would have the ball, he would waste the entire shot clock, fire up a bad three, or pass it to someone with like 2 seconds left in the shot clock and fire up a prayer. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how he's going to use this roster. But I think the most important thing about this is how they build the rest of this roster. That's going to be huge. And I'm curious to see how they're going to do that. I mean, they definitely need one or two more centers to complement Anthony Davis, to back him up, a real rim protecting centers, because whenever Anthony Davis was off the floor, the rim protection went away and it was just a layup line for the other team. So that's a huge thing. Also 3-and-D guys, they got to get a lot more of those. So I'm curious to see also if they add a third star. So really, really exciting time in Lakerland. Hopefully this hire of JJ Redick sticks around a lot longer than the previous three or four coaches that they've run through.
All right. Luis Robert flew out. He's now hitting 198.
Who cares?
One strike away from being 50 wins. So I'm going to assume the Dodgers won here. Let's go, Dodgers. That's the show, folks. We are out.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.